This episode is brought to you by Nordstrom. Whether you're packing for a vacation or dressing for a wedding, Nordstrom has head-to-toe looks for wherever summer takes you. From swimwear and bold color to romantic florals and dresses that make an entrance, find the right style for every unforgettable moment. Shop new arrivals from brands you love like Farm Rio, Free People, Vince, Waif, and Staud. Plus free shipping and returns and styling help whenever you need it make it all so easy. Shop now in stores, at Nordstrom.com, or download the Nordstrom app.
This episode is brought to you by Prime. Obsession is in session, and this summer, Prime Originals have everything you want. Steamy romances, irresistible love stories, and the book to screen favorites you've already read twice. Off Campus, Elle, Every Year After, The Love Hypothesis, Sterling Point, and more. Slow burns, second chances, chemistry you can feel through the screen. Your next obsession is waiting. Watch only on Prime.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Principal Liner Notes podcast. This is Sean Gaylord coming to you from my basement. This is the basement edition of the Principal Liner Notes podcast because I know that my guest is also coming from his basement as well. Something about school leaders and subterranean spaces. So I am very honored and excited to have the GOAT here with me, somebody that I know several of you who have tuned into the podcast. You also tune in to his podcast and follow his content and his work. And I'm very pleased to welcome Dr. Darren Pepper to the Principal Liner Notes podcast. Darren is as he writes in his biography, is a recovering high school principal, leadership coach, consultant, and speaker who is focused on organizational culture and leadership. He travels the country. He is also an author and publisher himself. You may know him by his hashtag or his book, The Road to Awesome, The Journey of a Leader. And I highly recommend you pick up a copy of that book, and I'll be sure to put in the show notes all of his things and all of his content. So Darren, my friend, welcome to the podcast.
Wow. Thank you, Sean. I'll tell you what, that was quite the introduction. I appreciate it. I'd never have been referred to as a goat. So thank you. It's really cool to have this opportunity to finally sit down with you. You know, you and we're 30, 35 minutes after we jumped on, finally hitting the record button because, you know, we spent some time just simply catching up and, been connected for a long time, been following your content for a long time, and really excited to have a chance to just sit and cut it up about leadership or the basement or music or whatever we choose to talk about today. So thanks so much, my friend, for having me on. And I will tell you this, I mean, you know, we're going to make this a home and home. You're coming on my show here, not too far down the road. Right. I'm going to start, I don't know, practicing, you know, talking to the windshield, my intro for you, because you have set the bar high, my friend.
well, Darren, be careful talking to the windshield, man. I don't want you going off the side of the road or
as long as it doesn't talk like back. That,
you know, now I know being in Nebraska, you know, there's a lot of space, a lot of land. So, you know, the highways are a little wider, maybe not as crowded as some of the more metropolitan scenes there. Yeah. So I don't know, man, but I'm honored and I'm grateful. And then the other thing, it just hit me.
Girl, winter is so last season. And now spring's got you looking at pictures of tank tops with hungry eyes. Your algorithm is feeding you cutoffs. You're thirsty for the sun on your shoulders. That perfect hang on the patio sundress. Those sandals you can wear all day and all night. And you've had enough of shopping from your couch. Done hoping it looks anything like the picture when you tear open that envelope? It's time for a little in-person spring treat. It's time for a trip to Ross. Work your magic.
That I must make mention of is that, and we have a lot of, it's not 6 degrees of separation with us. It's more like 1 degree of separation. Yeah. But one of my most, and well, they're all cherished guests, but, Bobby Policino was on here. And I know, you were instrumental in his book, Principal Leader, being published under your moniker and your emblem. So I know we're big fans of Bobby.
Big, big fan of Bobby Polisino. Truly a great leader, great human being. Just somebody, every time I'm around Bobby, I think I get smarter.
Yes.
He raises the bar every time he walks in a room. I really thought you were going to go Josh Tovar there with what you were saying.
Well, we got to drop that guy, that brother as well.
Yeah.
He's another mutual friend. Again, another one
yeah.
degree of separation.
Yeah,
He was also
absolutely.
Been on the podcast.
There you
And,
go. And has been online. There you go. And I'm getting ready to be on his. So there you go.
then I realized the other night, in because here's one more degree of separation. Folks, thank you for indulging in this conversation. I had Elizabeth Dampf on for
Oh,
a
yeah.
time on the podcast, and I picked up her book, Dealing with Staff Over t Dealing with Staff Turnover, and I was honored to endorse that book. And then I noticed when I got the hard copy, I didn't know this man. You also endorsed
I did.
her work as well.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring her up. I was cruising, I think, LinkedIn at one point in time, and somebody had shared an article that Elizabeth had written for, is it Edutopia? I can't remember who she writes for, but
ASCD is typically,
ASCD,
yeah.
I think it was ASCD. And so I apologize, ASCD. It was you, not Edutopia. But she had written a piece on quiet quitting, and it hit.
Yes.
I thought it was brilliantly written, like everything that she does. And I just reached out to her. I'm like, I just want to connect with you. We jumped on a call a few days later, had it really hit it off. I had her on the podcast, and then she reached out a little while later and said, "Hey, I would love it if you could, do some advanced praise for my book." And her book is truly fantastic. So,
It is.
she's another one that, I think that's, but Sean, that's the thing about the education space, and I think it's one of the beautiful things about the education space. I mean, it has truly become, and you can put a moniker on it or whatever. I mean, the whole PLN or whatever, right? It has become a global community. And if you are willing to pour into that community, they pour right back to you. And so many connections. We could probably just do a whole episode of just throwing names back and forth and doing exactly what we just did. So.
Absolutely. And again, that's the beauty of the space, and how there are so many willing and supportive conspirators out there to help and empower, and to teach and to learn with, and to thought partner with that. And I know, in the course of our conversation, many folks are going to get that same vibe with you and what you're sharing. In fact, before we hit record on this, I was already getting fired up about what is currently on your mind in terms of leadership. And I know that you had mentioned teams, leadership teams. And I know that you coach individually, you work with teams, you work with schools and districts all over the country. And I would just go, man. Just start riffing on leadership teams.
Well, I think my interest, my passion for leadership teams probably would go back to my first full team as a building principal, like that I hired all of them. Not that I, the group I inherited, not that there was anything wrong with that team, but when you've hired your team, you know what I'm talking about here, right? There's this ownership, there's this wanting to grow them and help them to be as successful as possible. And as I've transitioned, these last nearly 3 years of full-time work as a leadership coach, consultant, guru, pest, whatever you want to call me, I've really found this true fire for helping other leadership teams cut through the sand traps or maybe the fairway bunkers or whatever that keep them from being successful. We were talking about Pinehurst earlier, and so golf is on my brain. But there are a lot of things that can keep leadership teams from being successful, right? Whether they intend them or not. And, you know, like you and I were talking before we hit record with Lynn Cione's five dysfunctions of a team. And some of the John Gordon work around, you know, power posit team and some of those types of things. And I think for me, it has become just something that I'm enthralled with when I'm working with leadership teams, kind of jumping up on the balcony and taking a look at what is making them tick, what allows them to be successful, and what might be those pieces that hold them back. And every leadership team is different, but certainly the really high performance leadership teams, and I'm working on this, I'm working to truly identify it, but they have some traits in common. And that's kind of what's on my mind right now. That's kind of where I'm really pouring a lot of my focus.
I think it's significant that you share, Darren, that when I'm putting this through the lens of principalship, and most schools have some kind of leadership team or administrative team, and I know they're called different things in different schools and districts, but I'm I guess for those who are listening and tuning in, we're talking about, you know maybe it's principal, assistant principal, curriculum director, instructional facilitator, department chairs, and I found, and it was a big epiphany for me in my first principalship, and it wasn't the first day. It took me a few, almost a year to kind of figure this out, that the school that I was serving was my classroom, and the teachers that I was serving, those were my students. But then the leadership team, that was something a little bit special, because even though my heart is in the classroom, this was like my own kind of classroom that I was shaping and building, to train up, coach up, provide leadership advice and coaching. So I love how you framed it in terms of, you know, there's this need and desire, I feel, of principals wanting to not only nurture that team, but to teach that team as well. And I would think that would be a pretty significant common trait of what makes a team great. And I could be wrong, you know.
No, I think that's a really, really good place to start with that. If the primary leader of the team is not focused on growing the team, if the primary leader is not the one whose desire is to see other members of that team go on to be successful, then typically the team does not function overly well. That becomes more of a, you know, this person is the leader and everybody else is just delegated tasks, and they don't take on really true leadership. I think that's an interesting challenge for leaders too. And I like how you said that too, that it was not something you figured out right away. I think this is one of the biggest challenges right now in educational leadership. Across the country, we have seen a pretty high turnover in the leadership ranks. Mm-hmm. And the leadership pipeline isn't empty, not by any stretch of the imagination, but people are flying through that leadership pipeline and moving into principalships a little bit earlier, therefore a little bit less prepared mm-hmm. than before. Now, I won't speak for you, I'll speak for myself, but I thought I was ready. I'd been an AP for 5 years. I'd been 2 years of discipline attendance, 3 years in curriculum instruction, special programs. I mean, I'm ready. And the truth was, I was not ready. And it takes it takes some learning. It takes some lumps on the head. It takes figuring out what the heck do you really want and value as a leader. And when you first step into a leadership role, typically you don't get that. You don't walk in on day one just knowing this is what I really want to see and how I go about leading people to do that. Because to me, like, the biggest thing, one of the things that separates the good leaders from the great are the good leaders will get people to buy into the leader, but the great leaders will get people to buy into themselves. And you can't do that until you're really clear on what you care about. And so I kind of squirrel chased a little bit away from the team piece, but if the primary leader doesn't really have it figured out what really matters and what they're really looking for, it's hard to then start coaching and growing those others. But once you do, I think most leaders feel that desire, that draw, or even maybe like that, I don't know, professional responsibility to grow the others around you.
No, that's, and I'm with you. In my first principalship, I had only been an assistant principal prior to for 2 years. And I thought I had arrived with, you know, with my 3-piece suit and, you know, Florsheim, you know, my Brooks Brothers suit, you know, and, you know, I went to Florsheim and got, you know, the wingtips. And I thought that when I walked into that building, that everyone would follow and listen and, you know, and that was not the case at all. But I do think, and I don't think you're squirreling away from it at all, from the team aspect, because I know this is another thing that is also on your mind as well in terms of clarity. And, and that clarity, I think, comes with not only how we communicate expectation and vision and direction and guidance, but the leader, the primary leader in the building or organization or district, has to really be in touch, relentlessly in touch with their core, in order to achieve some clarity. But I would also say too, for that beginning leader, that clarity too requires some confidence, so and some courage. So how do you coach a leader into that, or what would be your advice, or what would be your thoughts to get them to tapping into that clarity?
Right. No, I love that. And I think first and foremost, it begins with acknowledging what your day really is, what your week really is. And, you know, I'll only speak for me, but, you know, my first year as a principal, I was breathing through a snorkel because my head was underwater the whole time. Mm-hmm. I was only the third principal in 35 years in my school. Wow. My predecessor, 17 years, his predecessor, 18, actually their predecessor was still around as well. I mean, the other two were retired. And I mean, I was fortunate enough with all of them to get to go sit and have coffee once a month. But I was hell-bent in the building to prove I wasn't Randy. And that was a mistake. Randy had some incredible systems in place. And I was so, you know, I want to do it differently, that I think I was running from crisis to crisis, but I think I was creating some of them too, just simply because I wanted to, you said it well, I had arrived. I wanted to prove it was me, right? You know, I call it Superman syndrome, right? I had to be everything to everybody. I had to solve everybody's problems. I had to be the smartest person in the room. I had to ad nauseum, right? When you reach a point of, and for me, it was kind of a breaking point. I was fortunate. My second year, and this is where the leadership coaching stuff comes from. My second year, my superintendent retired, wonderful man named Paul. When Paul retired, the next person came in, believed in leadership coaches, hired leadership coaches for all of us, which was a great thing. And my coach came to my school fairly early in the school year. Mm-hmm. We met in the parking lot, 7 a.m., 7:15, whatever. We walk in, it's probably 800 feet down the hallway to where the office is. And in that time, I think I probably got stopped 7 or 8 times. Hey, Darren, I need this. Darren, I need this. Darren, I need this. Darren, I need this. Right. At six or seven kids, you know, hey, Miss Prepper, I got to talk to you about this. Hey, you know, Pep, can I talk to you about this? Get to the office, my secretary, Darren, I need this, 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 this. You've got a group of angry parents sitting out front. And my pushpin board was littered with notes. Mm. And, you know, in school leadership, we have a name for that. It's Monday. That's all. That's a Monday, right? 2 hours of work in and getting the angry group of parents who are angry about our physics curriculum to meet with one of my assistant principals. Anyway, I turn around, my leadership coach is not even there. And my secretary said, Tom said he'll be in room 324, grab a notepad and get down there. And I get down there and he's doing walkthroughs. And Sean, all I could think was, dude, I know how to do walkthroughs. I don't need you to teach me that. Mm. And after a few minutes of a walkthrough in this particular classroom, he gave me the nod like, okay, let's go in the hallway and ask me, you know, hey, what'd you see? And I'm like, seriously? I mean, everything I was just dealing with and it, what he said to me, there was a purpose for this lengthy story. He looked at me and he said, Darren, you have to make a decision. Are you the leader of this school or are you just a firefighter?
Mm.
Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? Wow. And I mean, you talk about stopping me dead in my tracks. Of course, you know, I'm like, wow, teach me, Obi-Wan. You know, I want to be the leader of my school. And that's where the clarity piece came from. You know, Tom and I sat and had, you know, many, many conversations and sessions through the course of the year. And this is kind of how I go about it with leaders now. Obviously, in quick workshops, it's a real quick, you know, hey, what do you truly value? But when working with a group for a prolonged period of time, I mean, let's really go deep. I shared with you before we hit record about a group, one of my schools here in the Omaha area that I work with, doing some pretty deep work today and just more and more questioning about, you know, tell me a little bit more about that. You know, what do you really mean by that? How does everybody know what that means? Mm-hmm. And then as a leader, once you've identified that, you know, identifying how am I going to check in on myself? You know, you talked early about, or a little bit earlier about leading from your core.
Right.
Once you really know what that core is, that's what you got to lean into. And that's where I struggled. Again, I just thought I had to be everything to everybody. Once I figured out that there, you know, here are the six things that really matter to me. And that's, I mean, you mentioned the book earlier. That's the core of the book. Mm-hmm. Here are the six things that matter to me. How am I going to stay focused on that? How am I going to check in on myself? And how am I going to be intentional about what I do so that I stay focused on that work and so that I can actually empower others to do their work? So
that's beautifully stated. There's what I call here on the podcast. I know if you listen to NPR, they talk about those driveway moments where you know, you just stay in the car because you're so enraptured,
yeah,
and moved. And so I call them here on the podcast, that's a rewindable moment. So just some of the things that you touched on were so, so powerful. Definitely folks who are tuning in, that's a rewindable moment, what Darren just shared. This is this time of year, and this is June, where a lot of announcements on assignments and transfers and new leaderships, it's in any respective district, the announcements are made and you know, they're probably, I would hope, some novice leaders that are tuning in that may be novice to the whole leadership gig in general, or they may be a novice to the school that they're going to serve that's lucky to have them. In many ways, it's not like, and sometimes folks think in education, it's a lot like sports. When a head coach is named, the head coach brings in, his or her entourage of assistant coaches and adjuncts and those things. And in some cases, that does happen in schools and districts sometimes. But not always. And so you're going to have, some new leaders or newish leaders going into a school or a district or a department where they can't bring, all of their accoutrement or mentors and coaches and co-leaders and co-pilots. They are basically going to get the team that someone else has built and established. And there's a minefield of emotion there and history
Oh
and
boy.
so how would you, Darren, coach these types of leaders that are inheriting a team that is not theirs?
I think one, that's, man, that is such a valid point and such an important piece. Even if you are rising to a leadership role within the building that you've been, you're still. I went from AP to principal in the same building, and you go from being one of with the other assistant principals to one with, because now you're the principal. So there's certainly a understanding or a learning about your role and how to best lead from that role. But I think I'm going to give three pieces of advice. I think first and foremost, and it probably sounds a little cliche, but it's so important, especially if it's a position or it's a school that you've not worked in before. You need to listen. And I mean, listen. And don't come in with your agenda. Don't come in thinking you're going to recreate what you had in your previous location. It's interesting that you use that coaching analogy. Lifelong Denver Bronco fan in pain and in success, and it's been a lot more pain than success.
Here you are.
Sean Payton comes in and he's brought in almost everybody there, and they did win a Super Bowl in New Orleans, but there were a lot of seasons they didn't. And so bringing what you did before doesn't always equate to success in the new location. So lean into the people that you have, and really you lean in, number one, by listening to them. And we just recorded an episode for my podcast here recently. I do a mid-month every month with two seated principals right now, Dominic Armano in New York and Todd Bloomer in Texas. And we did a whole show on advice for new principals. And we were talking about this listening piece. And Dominic, as a brand new principal in that particular building this year, talked about how he really went on what he called a listening tour. And later in the conversation, I pushed back a little bit and said, if you think you've listened enough, you probably need to go listen some more. And he said, you're absolutely right. He said, I was so intentional with my listening, but I could have probably listened even more. You're going to get all kinds of, ghost stories and horror stories, and the people who get in your door first, or people are going to say, well, those are the ones you got to watch out for the most. I think it's just really important that you really take it all in and really think about what it is you're hearing. Because again, I said it early, but to be a great leader, you've got to get others to believe in themselves. And they won't believe in themselves if they don't feel like they're heard on their campus. So really make sure that you're listening. I think number two, man, lean into that administrative assistant or secretary or whomever that you have, and I am getting back to those inherited team members here in a minute, but I'm doing so on purpose here. That administrative assistant or secretary or director of first impressions or whatever you call that person who answers your phone and is your gatekeeper and that kind of thing can totally make or break you. Yeah. And they can be the person who can really help support you in identifying, because they'll know, what are the different members of your team really good at? So, you know, by listening to them as individuals, that's one way to learn. But listening to that person who is the driver of the school bus, right? I mean, they know better than anybody the talents that are on your leadership team. They probably know. I can tell you, my secretary knew the talents of our team better than our team knew our talents. Yeah. And so really lean into that person. And then I think the third thing is really spend time getting clear collectively on what you value. You know, really get your values out on the table. Don't be that person who's super guarded or, you know, doesn't share a lot about what's important to them. And do so in a way that it's inviting others to share what's important to them too. Because once everybody's values are out there, you've talked about it, you know, that leading from your core, when we all know what each other's core values are, that's where we can kind of come to that shared understanding of what do we expect? What are we looking for? Because once the team is all on the same page, and the team has a collective value, that will then make its way out to others. If you don't take the time to do that, what happens is everything that you and or your team do is top down. It's because we were told to. It's, or even you're just passing things on from the district level. Well, the district said so. Or as a team, you've got to own that whatever that great compelling vision is you have for your school. And you can't do that until you've at least uncovered what you collectively care about. So really long-winded answer.
No,
but I think I got to three and I said I'd hit three. So there you go.
No, nothing long-winded about your good wisdom. It's so solid. The other thing you had mentioned, I guess, that has also been on your mind in terms of the lens of leadership is intentionality, which you touched on through all of this. That's been kind of a recurring thread in everything. So how can a leader harness that? You know, it's a word that we throw around a lot. So in the lens of leadership, what should guide that intentionality, or what are some things that a leader should do to leverage that?
Yeah, no, that's such a good question. And I'm glad that you circled back to that. I would tell you there's a couple of things. First and foremost, just to lay the groundwork for why I feel so strongly about being intentional. You know, those people who are really far type A, like everything is color coded and they have folders for everything on their desk and everything has a place. I am not that guy. I am as far from that person as a person can be. Guilty. If there's a type Z, that's me. And so for mere self-preservation, I have to have systems in place. If I don't develop ways to do things, they don't get done. And the most powerful thing I learned, this goes back to my leadership coach, was my calendar. You know, if I say, and I do, that one of my six really important things is school culture and climate, then my calendar better reflect that. And so frequently I would put, and I would just do this on a Sunday. Again, I would sit and actually during my principalship time, the Broncos were actually pretty good. So I would enjoy watching the game, but I would have, you know, my calendar open and on my calendar, just put, and this is true for all six of my areas of focus, but put those times on the calendar, because if I don't put them on, they won't happen. You know, I tell leaders all the time, you know, we talk about, we need to get in classrooms. We need to, you know, do, whether it's, you know, systematic walkthroughs, or it's just, you know, blow by and say hi, whatever you might be doing. If you don't put it on the calendar, odds are good it won't happen. And so for me, the calendar was the number one piece to helping me become intentional. Mm-hmm. You know, I this is something I love to do with leaders all the time, when they're trying to figure out what is it that I really value, I will ask them to just go and audit their calendar. You know, go back in and look at a month of your calendar, you know, go take a look at your November or your April, and where did you spend most of your time? I mean, like, break into categories and, like, really, where are you spending your time? Because you can say, I value these things, but if you never spend any time on them, it's lip service, right? So that's why, to me, the calendar is one of those areas that I lean into. Heck, I still do it now, you know, to ensure that I am sticking to what I say is important, right? Another thing I think about with being intentional. So again, let me back up just a step. Being intentional is being intentional with your communication. It's being intentional with your actions, with your time, and with your energy. So if I say that being the instructional leadership, or the instructional leader rather, of my school is important, then I need to A, put it on my calendar, and then B, I need to go and demonstrate that with my actions and with my communication, with how I show up every day. I'm going to be that one who is showing up, you know, for professional development and participating in that professional development, not just telling teachers you need to do this and not being there, right? I'm going to be the one who's in those PLC meetings, just listening. I don't need to lead or facilitate. Just listen, take it all in, ask good questions. I'm going to be the one who's getting in classrooms on a regular basis. I'm going to be the one who's, you know, asking, you know, about curriculum adoptions. I mean, whatever it might be, right? If we're not sticking to and being focused on the things we say are important, we're not living to those values. So I think there's a lot to be said for saying, you know what, I'm going to do this on purpose, or I'm going to do this because I said I would, versus showing up, you know, I hope today I could get into five classrooms, you know, and then you get home and yeah, I didn't get to any of them. I didn't get 5 feet outside of my door. Right. So, I can riff on intentional for quite some time, but those are just like the ones right at the top of my head right now, that just really aligning your actions with your values. To me, that's what being intentional is.
I know you do develop quite a bit of just solid content, and we'll talk about that at the end. And I know that you're widely read. So I've got like a two-part question, because again, it's, where I'm at right now, it was the last day of school. And either folks are in the midst of that, and a lot of leaders, are walking around their local bookstore or library or on Amazon, you know, finding those books for pleasure, which are important, and to find beach reads and those things that, that may not necessarily be school related. But then also leaders are also looking for, you know, those tomes that either do speak to school leadership or corporate organization or organizational culture and those things. So what are those kind of titles that are like your go-to for leader? And then I've got a follow-up, because it does echo something that I do remember that you put in my Calendly pre-notes that I'm going to ask you about.
Okay. All right. Perfect. So I would tell you, I'm just kind of in my mind going back through my last handful of books. And I both read, physical books. I love the feel and the smell of an actual book.
Yeah.
Audiobooks have become a huge thing for me. Between audiobooks and podcasts, I'm listening all the time. And then my Kindle is actually where I do that read for pleasure. I don't think any professional reads that are currently on my Kindle. But I would tell you, so I read, and this is more of a business book, and I'm gonna pull it up really quick because I can't remember the name of the author. But I read recently a book titled For the Culture, and it was such an interesting read because it was focused on really from kind of a like a marketing perspective, but about how culture influences our decision making, how culture is something that we have to be mindful of in terms of how it may cause others to interact with us. Marcus Collins is the writer of that book. It was so very good.
Nice.
Love leadership books. I've read, man, everything from Admiral McRaven from Admiral William McRaven. His most recent is The Wisdom of the Bullfrog. That one was absolutely phenomenal. We talked about teams, and I've gone back into some of my favorite teams books recently. Lencioni's Five Dysfunctions of a Team. I just listened to recently again The Energy Bus, because I think if I don't listen to The Energy Bus about every 6 months, that I've missed the boat. It's such a powerful book in terms of your mindset and just staying focused. Really great book that was just released here not too long ago, and it was one that we did, but that's not why I'm plugging it. A gentleman named Josh Korb wrote a book titled Be the Cause. And what I love about this book, what hooked me on this book when he first pitched it to us here at Road to Awesome, was in our educational space for, I don't know, 15 years, maybe 10 to 15 years, we've been heavily influenced, as we should, by the work of John Hattie and around what effect sizes different types of instructional strategies have on student outcomes. And certainly not a criticism. I'll never criticize Hattie's work. But the thing I was left wanting from Hattie's work was, okay, that's great. Student-led conferences, cool. How do you do it? That's great. Tell me what moves the needle, but now tell me how to do it. And that's what Josh has done with this book, is he's taken 50 or 60 strategies that truly cause impact in student learning and then broken them down for you. I think it's a fantastic book. I think everybody should have it in their hands. I really do. So man, I can ramble on books for a long time. I really can. But those are the ones I think that are just kind of jumping up at the top of my mind right now.
Well, I know that's probably a loaded question, since you are a publisher and an
Well,
author
there's that too. Yeah.
yourself. So now, the flip side, literally, you if I'm remembering correctly, you had written music-wise
Oh, yeah.
that you and I think probably a lot like our mutual friend Josh Tovar, that 80s hair metal.
Yeah.
That's your jam. Is that
It
about
is.
your band?
It is. Now, I'm not rolling in a Firebird like Josh Tovar. I am not. I'm in a Jeep. But
Got you.
yes, the 80s music, yes, man, that is my jam right there.
What are your go-tos, man? What's when you hit the gym or hit the links, or you take off
It's
an airplane, man? What,
yeah.
what's
Yeah,
that? What's that?
actually, in the gym, my gym playlists are, wow, they are just so wide and varied, from And you'll find all of these different types of things within those, you know, everything from AC/DC, certainly some, oh gosh, I'm like going blank on who all I've got in there. I know there's AC/DC in there, but coming to the opposite end of the spectrum, you would find some Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Yes, you would find some Taylor Swift in my playlist. I'm just going to open up my playlist and just tell you who's there. Oh, you're going to have Heart. There's definitely going to be some Heart.
Okay.
In there. You'll find, there's just Motley Crue, of course. You're going to find in there some Sammy Hagar, some Van Halen. I am one of the few who is not a Van Halen or Van Hagar. Love them both for their own unique reasons. Right?
Same, man.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I would tell you, you know, I go back to, the late 80s, early 90s. And I had one summer. I call it the summer of Winger, because I don't know how. I don't know if maybe he got arrested in Casper, Wyoming, and they just wouldn't let him leave. But I think Kip Winger opened for probably seven different bands that summer in Casper. And I saw Winger so many times.
Winger.
Yeah.
You're really taking it back, man.
Yeah, I am. I know that they opened for Def Leppard, who I also love. They opened for Cinderella, Quiet Riot. I mean, just on and on. So yeah, I mean, I'm anywhere in the spectrum of, you know, if you consider Air Supply is a bad example because I'm not a huge Air Supply fan, but if you consider them rock all the way to Megadeth, and I'm everywhere in between there. I really am.
Nice, man. It's the more eclectic, the better. And man, now I'm flashing back to my childhood in late 80s and MTV and
oh yeah.
You know, of course, you know, I'm more of a 60s. I'm very old school. And so, but, you know, hey man, I'm not going to turn off Panama if it comes on.
Oh no, not at all. Well, and I'm certainly not going to turn off the Beatles if they come on. I mean, you know, I can't come on your podcast and not at least say, yes, I would definitely listen to the Beatles when they come on. Actually, on my drive home today, a little Blue Oyster Cult came on, and I was jamming to some Blue Oyster Cult. So, you know, but I would tell you this, you know, one final thought from me, unless we chase it further on music, all of the different genres of music that I love, and all the different, you know, songs that are just like, oh man, I love this song. Oh, I love this song. My walk-up song. I mean, you bring me on a stage for a keynote, you bring me on a stage for anything else, and it's going to be Tom Petty, Learning to Fly. That is my walk-up song.
Nice. That's a great song, and that's a good feel-good song. But there's a lot of depth. And I tell you, I still can't believe he's gone. I'm still like. And he's one of those musicians I think we took for granted, because Tom Petty was always there. He was, you know, the Heartbreakers. He toured with the Dead. He toured with Bob Dylan. You know, he goes all the way back to the 70s, and just grew up with him. I remember kind of my first exposure to Bob, to Tom Petty was The Waiting, which I just love.
Oh, such a great song. That's so good. Well, and then I mean, play it all the way forward to the Traveling Wilburys, you know.
Yes.
And you know, with Roy Orbison, and I mean, they're just wow, that guy. You're right, we took him for granted, and he's one of the ones I never got to see. I've seen so many concerts, never got to see Tom Petty, and really wish I'd had that opportunity.
I was really fortunate, my sophomore year in college, I saw Tom Petty, and this was right around the time Full Moon Fever came mm-hmm. out, which was such a pivotal album. That album, and those of you not familiar
fantastic.
With that album, you all probably know a lot of the hits. I Won't Back Down, Free Fallin', Running Down a Dream, You're So Bad. I mean, there's just such a a pitch perfect album. I might put that on later.
It's so good.
It's
Yeah.
just so good.
There's some Full Moon Fever on every playlist I have. I'm guaranteed that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you
Yeah.
mentioned the Wilburys and
Yeah.
you know that just
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
great
That
side
definitely takes me
project.
back, man. It's yeah, he's one of my all-time favorites. He really is. I mean, definitely I'll take that hit of 80s metal all the time, but yeah, when it all comes down, listening to music from him is that's a happy place right there.
Agreed, agreed. Darren, if folks want to connect with you and pick up a copy of your book Road to Awesome or any of the other books in the Road to Awesome publishing house or to connect with you or to get your coaching and or book
Yeah.
you, what are the best venues to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that. Yeah, if you go to roadtoawesome.net, that will take you to our website. There's, in our drop-down menu, everything from the coaching, all of the books that are part of our publishing house. All of our authors are in there. And then of course that'll get you links to the podcast, and to give you links to the blog, all of that kind of stuff. Honestly, when you first go on the website, a little pop-up's going to come up on there. Click on that, drop your email in there, and get subscribed to our newsletter. We have a newsletter that comes out every week, and shares all of the content, not only that I'm generating, but some of my favorite content contributors from all across the world that I follow. I read something great from you. I read something great from Lauren Kaufman, or I read something great from Megan Lawson, or an awesome podcast from Brian Martin or Brandon Beck, or I mean, just fill in the blank, right? Something really good. We're going to make sure and share that in our newsletter. So jump on there. You can always email me, Darren@roadtoawesome.net, and if you can find me on social media, Darren M. Peppard on virtually every platform. I'm even on TikTok. I don't really do anything there, but I'm there.
Gotcha. Well, I appreciate you sharing that, Darren, and I will put all of those things for our listeners and viewers in the show notes. And I tell you, one of the things that I always get great joy from and great inspiration from are your weekly pep talks, pun
Yeah.
intended. And I know the last one you were just sitting in a terminal someplace, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was this week you're in a
Chicago
terminal.
O'Hare. I was at O'Hare for that one. Yeah.
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 And
Yeah.
you just kind of share some thoughts and give some ideas and
Yeah.
just a nice crisp 2-3 minute, you can get it on the run and or go back and reflect upon it. So I really enjoy your pep talks, man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'll throw this out there too. Just something, a freebie for everybody. I built or I wrote a an ebook, a real simple ebook, Walk in Your Purpose. It's five mindsets to level up your leadership. It's just a simple, quick little 3, 4, 5 pages to just, hey, think about this. And it's a free ebook. If you go to walkinyourpurpose.roadtoawesome.net, and I'll give you that link too. You can drop that in there. It's a free ebook. Go check it out. A couple of really good things in there that can just help you maybe reflect a little bit on your leadership, jump up on that balcony and kind of look down on how you are doing as an individual leader, and maybe help you identify one thing you can lean into a little bit more to bring that leadership up to the next level.
I highly recommend that too. That's a good crisp read as well. Darren, where are you heading next in your speaker circuit? I know the summer
Yeah.
is a busy time
Yeah, it is.
for you. So where are your
Yeah.
next couple of gigs?
Yeah. So I will be, as we're sitting here recording this, the 12th and 13th and 14th of June, I will be in Texas for the Texas Secondary School Principals Conference. The following week, I'll be in Nashville for the Innovative Schools Conference. And then I will be in mid-July. I will be in Orlando for the Jocelyn's Renaissance Global Conference. I'll be speaking at all of those conferences, and spend a lot of time with a lot of schools between now and the kickoff of the school year too. So yeah, come check me out at one of those. Reach out. Let's have a conversation. Sean, I appreciate this so much, man. I'm so glad we got a chance to connect.
Darren, I agree as well. It's been a long time in coming. I've enjoyed our Friday evening together, and I look forward to coming on your podcast soon. So
absolutely,
we'll keep the vibe going and the conversation going. And I'll say, Darren, you are welcome back here anytime, my brother. You are.
I
welcome.
Appreciate that, man. I really do. I really do. Yeah. Right on.
It is.
Yeah,
so
this has been great, man. This has been so great.
Folks, please be sure to follow and connect with Darren Peppard. He is really just a sincere, authentic voice of inspiration and coaching and fun. And I just cannot recommend connecting with him as soon as possible, and also check out all of his content, which we'll share. In sign off, as I always share, as we amble down with purpose down the road to awesome, do a little mashup of Darren's content and mine. Don't forget to share with the world your dreams, your ideas, your insights, because the world needs them and you help make the world a better place. And if you're ever lost, there is, wherever you are, there is always a road to awesome. You'll never be lost there. And I know that Darren will be that guide on the side and that thought partner and that bandmate to help you get to your destination and beyond. This is Sean Gaylord. This is the Principal Liner Notes podcast with my great guest, Darren Pepper. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the flip side.